Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com. If not us, then
welcome to An Engaging Faith. I'm your host, Elizabeth Reardon, here on BritBox Media. Now, it is so wonderful to be here today as we meet you where you are, discuss what it is to understand our faith and ourselves more deeply, and to look at where God is leading us together in faith. Now, today's show is with Carrie Santos, and if you are listening in and wish to talk to Carrie or I, the number is 573-4-BREAD-4. That's 573-4-BREAD-4. Now, today we're going to talk about different ways to celebrate Valentine's Day, including family-friendly ways. And Carrie and her husband have devoted their lives to marriage ministry and couples matters. So if you are listening and really wish to ask a question, don't be shy. Call in. We'd love to hear from you. I know, Carrie, the last time you were on, we talked about the Synod on the Family, and you were on the ground reporting. So, and you had also injured yourself. So, like, with the weather that we've had going on, hopefully you're staying healthy and your foot is all better now.
Well, we just got the news that my two kids don't actually have strep throat, so we have dodged that bullet, that winter bullet. So that's excellent news. But so far, everybody else is staying pretty healthy through this winter.
Well, that's always a difficult duty as being a mom with, you know, several children, because it seems like there's always one in the house that tends to bring home every germ imaginable.
That is so true. So true.
Now, your latest venture, I just want to touch on this before we jump into the show, is a book called The Four Keys to Everlasting Love, How Your Catholic Marriage Can Bring You Joy for a Lifetime. And it is published by Ave Maria Press. So when is the actual release date?
Well, the release date is going to be in the beginning of April, right after Easter. So that's extremely exciting. And we're looking forward to some launch week activities. A friend of ours is hosting a launch party here in Garden City. And of course, we have a lot of speaking dates and radio dates, interviews lined up. So the excitement is definitely building.
Well, I mean, as someone that understands the work involved in writing and obviously going through a number of edits to get to this point, it's a beautiful gift to be able to present, you know, your life's work and present it in a way that I think many families and many couples are going to find really beneficial when we think about that vocation of Catholic marriage.
Well, as you said, my husband and I have devoted many years to marriage ministry, and my husband's a psychiatrist. He counsels couples, both Catholic and non-Catholic. And so there was a lot of professional expertise and a lot of life as we've lived it that we poured into that book, and of course, a lot of prayer time as well. So it's great to see it all come to fruition.
So when we look, Carrie, at this idea of that vocation to marriage and how we celebrate an occasion such as Valentine's Day, especially during Lent, I think it brings that idea of our Catholic faith into play. And so we turn to the origins of St. Valentine's Day. So a quick quiz for all those listening. Who was St. Valentine? And I found this on the web, and I thought this was really cute. Was he A, a priest in the Roman Empire who helped persecuted Christians during the reign of Claudius II and was thrown into jail and later beheaded on February 14th? Was he B, a Catholic bishop of Terni who was beheaded also during the reign of Claudius II? Or C, was he someone who secretly married couples when marriage was forbidden or suffered in Africa or wrote letters to his jailer's daughter and was probably beheaded? Or D, all some or possibly none of the above?
Do I get to answer?
Yes.
The answer is D. It's really fascinating that there are accounts of as many as three saints with the name of Valentine who died at different in different years. And so actually in 1969, Saint Valentine was dropped from the church calendar. There's no feast of Saint Valentine on the church calendar anymore. He's still listed in the Roman Martyrology, so he's still considered to be a saint, but the historical details are just not clear enough for him to be celebrated in the church calendar anymore.
Right. And so, I mean, honestly, when we try to think of who St. Valentine's, you know, actually was, but we can go through that list of A, B, C, or D, or we can just understand, like, a lot of our Catholic saints, they may or may not have those definitive details.
Yeah, like Saint Christopher, we think, is perhaps a legendary figure. Saint Christopher was I think, a patron saint of travelers because he supposedly carried the baby Jesus on his shoulders across a creek. But after more examination, it turned out that he was probably legendary. So same thing with Saint Valentine. He's not legendary, but we don't know exactly what he did. There's some wonderful legends though about what he might have done. One of them that he married Christians, which was a real crime, a very serious crime under the Roman Empire, and it brings home to us how lucky we are that that we are able to celebrate Christian marriage in our society, that we have the freedom to do that, and that it's not something we'll be martyred for or beheaded for, and it's something that's very valuable to us, this freedom that we have.
Well, I agree. And when we look at some of the occasions that we celebrate, there was another legend on the Roman end of it about that festival that was celebrated around February 15th. And for 800 years, the Romans had dedicated this god, this day to the god Lupercus. And this time, they would draw the name of a young woman in the lottery and keep the woman as a sexual companion for a year. So to think of that understanding that we have of what it is to celebrate the vocation of marriage.
And another version of that legend says that there were animals sacrificed, dogs and goats, as a sign of fertility, and men would disrobe and wear the animal skins on them, run through the streets.
Oh, how attractive.
And the first woman they caught would have to become their bride. So so actually, Pope Gelasius, I believe is how you pronounce it, mm-hmm. maybe it's Gelasius, Pope, but he was the first of that name. He wound up banning Lupercalia. That was the name of the festival. And it turned into a feast of, a Christian feast celebrating St. Valentine's instead. So that's a definite improvement.
I agree. And I certainly would not want to find my spouse that way. the visual is just obviously too much. When we look at how the idea of handwritten notes came about too, that's interesting because I think around that time that occasion became a time to seek the affections of women. So men were actively courting women, and it was a tradition to give out handwritten messages that included the person they intended to win over, their name.
Yeah, I think in the medieval times, Chaucer wrote a poem about the middle of February being a time when birds would seek out their mates. And so humans followed this custom of doing it as well. But it was Chaucer who I think came up for the first time, was the first recorded reference of the term Valentine's Day, St. Valentine's Day.
Hmm. And when we look at that, understanding that, yes, as spring approaches, right, we see the birds and the animals, they all go and choose their mate. And I think that's also why perhaps we have so many May weddings.
And Easter's at the same time. It's a time of rebirth, of love. It's something that even nature participates in.
Right. And we have about 2 minutes, but one of the thoughts we're going to turn to when we come back from break is that idea of how to celebrate Valentine's during Lent, you know, because so many people give up things instead of really lifting up, but they'll give up chocolate or something. There's a little bit of confusion perhaps as to how to celebrate Valentine's in a way that still really respects our Catholic tradition. So, Corrie, one of the things, and you're going to have some ideas too. So when we look at, if it's on Sunday, one of the things is that there's no fasting, right? So yeah. We don't have to worry about fasting. And instead of giving up chocolate, we're going to talk about all the things that you can do with that time and with the one that you love to really show them that you care. So we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more with Carrie Santos this afternoon here on An Engaging Faith with Elizabeth Reardon on Redbox Media.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Listening to An Engaging Faith with Elizabeth Reardon here on Redbox Media. And we are joined today by Carrie Santos, and we're discussing this idea of ways to celebrate Valentine's Day, including family-friendly ways. And one of the next topics that's kind of on our minds when we think about Valentine's Day is this year, Valentine's Day falls during Lent. And as we said before break, it's on Sunday, so there's no fasting. So if you've given up chocolate, there are other things that you can take on, you know, Carrie, the idea of taking on prayer. Save the chocolate for later. Don't worry. There's another idea of celebrate early if you want to really go big. So you could, if you want to do more for Valentine's Day, then possibly Lent would, your feelings about Lent would allow, then you know, if you can do it today, tomorrow, you know, Saturday, you know, before Valentine's Day, that's a good idea too.
Yeah, I know some people really prefer to keep the Lenten fast, even on Sunday. It's not obligatory. The 40 days of Lent doesn't include the Sundays, and Sundays are always considered to be feast days because they celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this idea of feasting and fasting is woven throughout the church calendar and throughout church life, and it continues even during Lent. There are a few solemnities during Lent, feasts where we don't have to keep that Lenten fast. For example, the Feast of Saint Joseph, that's very near and dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. That's always on March 19th, and that's usually during Lent. And so you can feast on that day to celebrate Saint Joseph's Day and the Annunciation as well. So it's okay to feast on St. Valentine's Day this year, I think.
Well, also, you know, the idea of, as you said, that feasting and fasting and recognizing that for me, being married 21 years, the idea of showing that we love each other doesn't have to be in big ways. Right? There's so many little ways that really are very meaningful to show one another that we love each other. And I think it's actually can be a little bit more challenging, but very rewarding to think of those little ways, because those little ways can be done throughout the year.
Yeah, Pope Francis always tells us that we have to say thank you, and we have to say please, and we have to say I'm sorry to our spouse and to our kids in the context of family life, that these little things really create a culture of loving, cherishing, respectfulness that is so necessary for a happy family life. And it is a small thing, but because it's small, it's easily overlooked, and it's hard to sustain. It's hard to do a small thing every day. In fact, it's harder to do a small thing every day than to go all out for the one big gesture. So just because we have Valentine's Day doesn't mean we're off the hook for the rest of the year.
Right. Well, I will share with those listening one of the things that I've always done, because I'm up when my husband gets up. So tradition has it especially when it's really cold out, I will go and warm up his car. That's like something little I do for him. And on Valentine's Day, though, he kind of knows to expect the unexpected, because sometimes I will put post-it notes in his car.
Uh-huh.
Little messages on Valentine's Day, or I'll put, a chocolate rose, or I'll do something kind of just goofy and off the wall. So he's constantly finding notes from me all day long.
That is so cute.
And it's just something small, but he's kept them. And he's got this collection of different little notes that I've left for him. And it really is a way of just letting them know that they're being thought of, and you're exercising, I guess, that playfulness that sometimes when you look at a marriage that's over 10 years, you know, you think, well, that's gone after that time. No, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, it's always important to kind of stir up the fires of love every chance we get with small things or big things. You know, keep the romance and the love going over time.
So, what are some of the things that you and your husband do in small ways to show one another? Like talking about Pope Francis's challenge. So what are some ways that you do? Because I know you have a number of children as well, and that can be even more challenging.
It is definitely challenging. We have the six kids. Our oldest is in high school, and our youngest is in kindergarten. So they, in age, they sort of run the gamut. But we have five girls and only one boy. So it's an odd breakdown in terms of gender. And we do struggle, my husband and I, to make time for one another, to make one another a priority in the middle of busy family life. And he used to joke about the fact that his biggest fear was a wife who couldn't make a decent cup of coffee.
Mm.
because he's Spanish, and Spaniards take their coffee very
seriously.
So, you know, so one of the things that I could definitely do better is to always have his coffee waiting for him in the morning. I do it frequently, but I definitely don't do it every day. But something to put on the to-do list, certainly.
Well, and another idea that I would suggest for those that are considering Valentine's Day, and maybe this, especially because it's during Lent, and because as Pope Francis would encourage us to go and do something for someone else even, so maybe showing our love for others by serving others together.
Yeah, community service together as a family is a very powerful way to connect. We have friends who do that frequently here on Long Island. There's a group called the Friar Suppliers that that goes out and buys and packs up food for the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal, who are an order dedicated to really living St. Francis's spirit of poverty. So so they subsist completely on donations, and one day one of their donors realized that all the money the brothers were getting was going to the poor, and the brothers were eating plain pasta, sort of three meals a day. So this initiative happened to actually buy food so that the friars themselves could have healthy meals, and they make it into a real family event where the families will go out there and participate in organizing everything and shipping it out to the brothers. And it's a real bonding experience for the families.
Well, and I would say too, like, there is something about seeing your spouse in an environment of serving others. Seeing my husband at the nursing homes, watching him, you know, clean the mouth of someone that's just had the Eucharist and maybe needed a sip of water, watching him lean in to even give the sip of water. This, for me, is just an incredible way of falling in love with their spouse all over again, because you're seeing that tenderness, you're seeing that compassion.
So let me ask you a question, Elizabeth. How do you include your family in Valentine's Day?
Well, in terms of Valentine's Day for as a couple or as a whole family?
Well, we were talking a little bit on during break about your
yes.
the candlelight takeout. I love that story.
Well, one of the things that I really enjoy, because I like the comfort of being home sometimes after a long day, I like to go and grab takeout from one of our favorite restaurants, and then setting up candlelight and you know, having everything, just some private time together. And the kids really enjoy that as well, because they're seeing that we're carving out space for one another by making that time special. So they know to kind of give us that space, to give us that time. And, you know, when we're done eating our meal and we're kind of picking up, they'll say, "So how was it? How was your date?"
Aww. Yeah, it is so important for kids to see that we treat the marital relationship as a priority, and it gives them a model to follow when they get older. Because sometimes we can neglect our spouse for the sake of the kids, and that's really not good for anybody. maybe I'll get my chance to tell our story of how we include our kids in our Valentine's Day celebration, some tradition that we've developed over the past few years.
Well, and I will say, we had someone message us and said, well, they are celebrating Valentine's Day at the Waffle House this year. So, you know, wherever you go, whatever it is you do, making that time for one another is really essential in keeping that lasting love within our marriage and really enhancing that vocation to marriage. So we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to hear more from Carrie Santos this afternoon here on An Engaged Faith with Elizabeth Reardon on Red Rocks. See you.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Listening to an engaging faith with Elizabeth Reardon here on Breadbox Media. Now, before the break, we were sharing some of our thoughts about the importance of really having that time and dedicating time to our spouse and just little ways to show our spouse that we love them. But as I understand it, today we are joined by Carrie Santos. And as I understand it, Carrie, you and your husband Manny have a hot date night / adoration ritual. So how did this come to be and what has this meant for you both?
Well, this actually started before we even got married. We were dating in New York City. And my husband liked to go to a lot of bars, and that was not exactly my scene. So we were in a Catholic choir at the time, and some of our fellow choir members found out about this all-night Eucharistic vigil at Our Lady, Queen of Peace, on the Upper East Side. And so we started going as a huge group to this all-night adoration, and we would go to a diner ahead of time, and then we would go to the vigil that started at about 9, and it was such an exciting experience to be around so many Catholics who were so devoted to their faith. The priests were amazing, and they had these beautiful singers, and so it was really where I started feeling in my heart the call to convert to Catholicism was wow. at these all-night Eucharistic adorations. And when my husband proposed, he actually proposed during the midnight break at this all-night vigil at Our Lady Queen of Peace. And so we've always tried to keep a hold of that tradition and that memory and celebrate First Friday even when we moved out of the city and came to Long Island.
So really, when we think about Valentine's Day, though, we put so much emphasis on one day. You know, as you're talking, I mean, what is clear is that we really need to, in addition to Valentine's Day, really give that time and make that time for one another all year long.
Yeah, it's great to seize any chance that we can get to show each other how much we really care. And I know Valentine's Day can get a bad rap because it's a little bit commercial and there's a lot of pressure being put on people, particularly men, by the media to go out and get that perfect gift or, you know, to spend the money on the long-stemmed roses or the champagne flutes or the necklace or whatever it is. And I know that some people feel a little resentful about that, but really it shouldn't be viewed as something that's materialistic. It shouldn't be viewed as something that's commercial. It's a chance to show our love for one another, and it doesn't have to be a big expensive way like you and your husband just getting the takeout and sitting at home and having your hot date night there and candlelight in your own home. You know, it can be a small thing, but still a special thing.
So how do you celebrate Valentine's Day, Carrie?
Well, we decided a few years ago when our kids started getting older that it was important to bring them into our Valentine's Day celebrations. At that time when the kids were in preschool and you start seeing all these adorable little Valentines with the hearts and all of the kids writing the Valentines to their classmates, you know, we started wondering, well, how are we supposed to celebrate Valentine's Day with our own kids. And we asked some friends of ours who have 10 children of their own. And what they did was the daughters would send Valentines to the dad, and the dad would send Valentines to the daughters. And the sons would send Valentines to the mom, and the mom would send the Valentines back. So we thought that was really cute, but we also liked the idea that they had discovered a way to incorporate their kids into the celebration. So what we decided to do, Manny and I, was to find an activity that everybody in the family enjoys. And it's hard when you've got, you know, teenage girls and kindergartners and boys, girls, you know, it's really hard to find something that both adults and kids of all ages can enjoy. And we discovered ice skating. We love it. We go once a year. That's it. we go, you know, on Valentine's Day or Valentine's Day weekend once a year. The whole family goes out and we all go ice skating together. And we have such a blast, and everybody looks forward to it every year.
Well, for my house, and on that note, my husband probably ice skates just about as well as he skis, which is not that well. So but it's such finding that activity that you all enjoy together. I mean, what a wonderful idea. I mean, you've got, there's so many things. You could go out to a movie together. You could also go to see a sporting event together, but those can be kind of pricey, but you can make, there's paint nights now. I mean, Carrie, there's so many ways, depending on your family, that honestly you can do something meaningful together.
Yeah, if ice skating is not your thing, there's tons of other things to do. You know, people who live in warmer climates can get outdoors and hike or have a picnic or something like that. But you can even have an indoor picnic, or if you have a fireplace, you know, eat in front of the fireplace, have, you know, put out your nice blanket and sit down on it. Even if you have a picnic basket, you know, have the kids drag it into the living room and have everybody eat together. But yeah, I think it's important, particularly as the kids get older and when they get into their teen years, to show that that celebrations of love do not require that you be part of a couple. I think there is a lot of loneliness out there for single people that is made worse when it's expected that you bring a date to everything, that you can't enjoy yourself unless you have somebody else of the opposite gender with you, you know. And so our daughter, our oldest daughter, is 14. And we've told her that she's too young to date. She's already been asked, scarily enough. She's in ninth grade in high school. She's been asked on a date, and we said she had to say no because she's too young. And you know, but she doesn't have to be part of a couple in order to be happy, in order to celebrate life's happy occasions, you know. And so I think in particular, including her in a holiday celebration of something like Valentine's Day really shows her in actions as well as words that, you know, romantic love is great, but it doesn't have to exclude other types of love like family love.
Exactly. I know because I've been home for a number of years, I've been able to really be present for Valentine's Day morning. Traditionally, I will make heart-shaped pancakes, or I've taken my cookie cutter and made cinnamon toast with the heart-shaped cookie cutter out of toast.
I love that idea.
But just these little fun, creative ways. I mean, they never know what I'm going to really do. I've done a smiley face in their pancakes with the chocolate chips.
And you know, that's a great thing for families to do together also. I know my kids always love to help make the pancakes and help make the cookies. So
absolutely.
celebrate Valentine's Day is to do those sorts of things together.
Exactly. And if you are in the kitchen together, if that's something your family likes, baking muffins in a heart-shaped muffin tin, and we usually take out several to go to neighbors. So, like that, my elderly couple, the elderly couple that lives a few doors down from me, we come and we bring, you know, heart-shaped banana muffins or something. And it's our way of really just showing that there are people, even outside of our family, that need a little love too.
Yeah, it's beautiful to reach out to people, particularly the elderly and even widows on a holiday, you know, and widowers on a holiday like Valentine's Day to comfort people who maybe don't have anyone and could be feeling more lonely because it seems like it's just couples everywhere.
Right. I think some parishes are starting to really notice this and are creating evenings for those that may feel like they want a get together, so they come and join the parish family
for Valentine's Day.
Yes,
that's a terrific idea, particularly for single folks, you know, who don't happen to be in a committed relationship. It's a great way to welcome them into the church family.
So for those listening, if that sounds great to you, be the one to suggest it to your parish. Be the one to perhaps even offer to help get things set up. And in that way, you're passing on that notion of that love within your parish community and even outside of your parish community, if you want to extend it that to those in your town. So we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk more with Carrie Santos this afternoon here on An Engaging Faith with Elizabeth Reardon on BritBox Media.
Well, it's time for us to do something.
BreadBox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Listening to An Engaging Faith with Elizabeth Reardon here on BritBox Media. Now, we are joined today by Carrie Santos. She and her husband are author of The Four Keys to Everlasting Love, How Your Catholic Marriage Can Bring You Joy for a Lifetime, which is published by Ave Maria Press and should be coming out sometime in April. But Carrie has joined us today to talk a little bit about Valentine's Day and ways that we can really really show our love for our spouse, our family, and others this season within our Catholic faith, particularly. So, Carrie, you know, when we're talking about this idea of Valentine's Day, if we have someone that we that is our significant other, that is our spouse, there's a lot of great joy too in celebrating that. But for someone who might be single or divorced, what are some ways that they too can really celebrate this within their own vocation?
Yeah, according to statistics, at least half of the U.S. population is actually single right now. So so there's a lot of single people out there, but even single people are part of a family. They're part of a network of friends. If they're Catholic, they're part of a parish community. And so so there's no need to be alone in a holiday like this. You know, I write for a Catholic Match Institute, which is the blog of Catholic Match, the online Catholic dating site. And so they have a wonderful ministry to Catholic singles and, of course, a lot to say about how to celebrate Valentine's Day if you're single. And So I was reading an article on there, and they have a lot of great suggestions. Like, you can go on a road trip. You know, this works particularly well for the divorced single parents, you know, who are just with their kids for Valentine's Day, and then they can include their kids in a road trip to experience something new and wonderful together. And another idea is to go take a course and learn something new and conceive a passion for a new field of learning, not just another person. And so there are a lot of things that that single people can do that celebrate the spirit of Valentine's Day without requiring that kind of coupling up.
Right. And I think, as we said before break, seeing that that vocation of being single it's not any less valid than that of being married. You know, it's just understanding how God is calling you to be in that present moment.
Well, and we all have a vocation just because we've been baptized.
Right. You know,
we bear on our brow the seal of Him who died for us, right? And this common vocation of the baptized is to go out and make disciples of all nations, right? To spread the faith, to evangelize, and to grow in our own spiritual life, to grow more and more in love with Jesus. I was reading this great article on Life Teen by this sweet young thing. I don't know if she was a teenager or I don't know if she was in her early 20s. They sound the same to me. I think now from my advanced age of 45. Much younger than I. Anyway, she was speaking so movingly about making Jesus her Valentine. And she said, you know what? Why don't you go to Mass to celebrate Valentine's Day? You know, or why don't you go to adoration or recite a rosary? Why don't you make cookies and give them to people together with a holy card of the Sacred Heart, because Jesus's heart has really been given in love for us and for all of us, whether we're single, we're married, we're priests or religious sisters or brothers. You know, the ultimate goal for all of us is really to fall in love with Christ and to live in love with Him forever in heaven. And our vocations are just a way to get there, you know. And sometimes I think the temptation is to turn our marriage or our relationship into kind of an idol, to make it a mm-hmm. stopping point, an end goal. Well, what I want is a happy marriage or a great husband or, you know, the perfect wife or whatever it is. And we forget sometimes to look beyond that and to say, you know, yes, I want the happy marriage. Yes, I want a wonderful spouse, but where's it all going? You know, it eventually, this idea of marriage as a vocation reminds us that it's a path to God, it's a path to heaven, it's a path to closeness to Christ through each other. You know, we don't end up just the two of us. It's the two of us and Christ.
Right. And when you think about the shape of a heart, right, there is the top left bump, there's a top right bump, and then there's the bottom corner. And when I talk about 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, for me, that heart, those three parts, is, as we understand too, going back to scripture, that there's love of God, there's love of neighbor, and there's love of self. And so when we look at our vocation, understanding that there is that need also to really be, to honor ourself in the way that God has created us to be, and to do something, particularly if you're single, maybe for yourself that night, that's a little self-nurturing, you know. And whether that be going to Mass or whether that be taking an evening off to just to just do something that you might consider a little bit frivolous, but that's healthy and that's nurturing. I think that is a beautiful way to really show God too, that we are very thankful for that gift of just being.
Yeah, if God loves us, we can love ourselves too.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
and when we look at that love, turning back to 1 Corinthians, you know, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it's not self-seeking, but it is not easily angered, and it keeps no records of wrongs. I think this Valentine's Day, going back to looking at that scripture that is so present at so many weddings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just taking that scripture and thinking, do we really embody that with,
yep,
with those that we love? Are we really patient? Are we kind? Do we envy? Do we boast? You know, how is that present in our relationships?
Yeah, if you replace the word love with your own name,
mm-hmm,
and sort of turn it into a question, Carrie is patient, Carrie is kind, you know, true or false? And often it's going to be false, I'm afraid.
Well, I think it really depends on different days, but part of this Lent is trying to get back to that more often than not.
Yes.
You know, and so I think because with Valentine's Day falling during Lent, you know, it's a great way of just reevaluating our and taking that stock on where we are in our relationships and how we love one another.
And one of the cool things about Valentine's Day coming during Lent is all about sacrifice.
Yes.
Right? But at basis, a long-lasting married love is about sacrifice also. So when you sacrifice for the sake of God, it reminds you that the sacrifices you make for your spouse are also sacrifices for the sake of God. And it's really what keeps the love going, is that ability to sacrifice.
Wonderful point, Carrie. I often think when we do those little things necessarily that we might consider chores around the house, we may not find the joy in some of those chores that our spouse may or may not want to partake in. But being able to do them and see that sacrifice is part of what we do to show one another we love. Excellent, excellent point.
Well, and forgive our spouse and forgive ourselves when we fall short, because often we do. And that ties into, you know, Pope Francis's call for us to focus more on mercy. You know, mercy in a relationship, mercy in a marriage is so important as well. And actually, I think you and I are both going to be presenting at an online conference.
Yes.
This Lent, right? February 20th. The Conference for Moms on Faces of Mercy, and I'm actually talking about mercy in marriage, and my husband, Dr. Manny Santos, he'll be talking about mercy in marriage too, because forgiveness is so necessary in keeping that love going, keeping that love strong.
And I think there's a 20% discount for those that go online and they sign up and they register.
Yeah, Ave Maria Press is partnered up with the Catholic Conference for Moms promoters, and there's actually 4 Ave Maria Press authors who are going to be presenters at the Catholic Conference for Moms, and so there's 20% off all of our books, and the registrants in the conference will get that coupon.
Well, thank you so much, Carrie, for joining us today. And thank you all for tuning in and listening in to An Engaging Faith with Elizabeth Reardon here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.